In the second part of our show, Cynthia Berger talks with Joe Jenkins of Grove City, Pennsylvania. He's the author of The Slate Roof Bible and an authority on the restoration of historic slate roofs.
Joe, thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be back at my alma mater, Penn State.
I wanted to start by talking about slate and the state of Pennsylvania. A lot of people think about mineral resources in Pennsylvania and they think of iron and coal, but we're also, we've been a center of slate production, right?
That's correct. Eastern Pennsylvania had huge, still has huge slate deposits, much of which were made into roofing slate. And, you know, the old blackboards you see in the schools, those were slate from Pennsylvania. Billiard tables, things like that. And the reserves are enormous. There's tons of, literally tons and tons of slate in eastern PA. You know, it's interesting, I might add that the slate development in the United States was done by the Welsh. So every slate region in the United States has towns named after Welsh towns. So Bangor, PA, which is in eastern PA, is named after Bangor, Wales. And, it's just interesting how in the mid-1800s the Welsh came over and started this entire industry.
Right. It was sort of a conjunction of forces, right? There was the railroad and there was the need for more housing and all those factors.
Yeah, and every place where the railroads went, the slate went. So there, like Pittsburgh, for example, there is no slate in western PA, but there are lots of slate roofs because the railroads went there. Where the railroads didn't go, you'll see very few slate roofs.
Now, a lot of historic buildings have slate roofs, big public buildings, churches, municipal buildings, civic buildings. And I think people today tend to think of a slate roof as something, you know, very expensive and not for the average home. But actually, a slate roof can be pretty economical, right?
I think it's the least expensive roof money can buy when you consider the life of the roof. And I should add that back in the heyday of slate, all kinds of buildings had slate roofs, pig pens, chicken coops, garages, cathedrals, and everything in between. So it's, you know, at one time, it was the roof of choice. It's been undermined since then by a lot of different factors, one being the advent of cheaper roofing, asphalt roofing, for example. But back in the heyday of roofing slate, people built houses and buildings because they wanted them to last, you know, till their great-grandchildren were alive. Nowadays, people don't seem to care. They own a house for 3 years, they're going to sell it, and they don't care about the roof. That's just a generalization. I mean, some people do care, but...
You have your book here with us in the studio. It's called The Slate Roof Bible, and it's a very large format book. It's very thick, more than 300 pages, and more than 300 color photos of beautiful slate roofs. It really is a Bible. You were showing me earlier a picture of a church and talking about costing out the roof over time. Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, this is a good example. The Cathedral of St. Andrew in Little Rock, Arkansas. When I first inspected that roof, it was 120 years old, and it was still functioning, but it had a mixture of two types of slate, black and green. Black was from Pennsylvania, the green was from Vermont. The black had worn out after 120 years, so the roof had to be replaced. The original cost to install that roof was a little under $2,000 in 1880. It worked out to about $16 a year over the 120-year lifespan. And that's for a cathedral. You know, that's a very complicated ornate roof with 220-foot spire, a dome on the back, two colors, an intricate pattern. So $16 a year, I think, is pretty good price.
Joe, let's talk about how you got into this business. Today, you wear a lot of different hats. You're a slate roof contractor. You're also a consultant on historic buildings, and you consult nationally and internationally. You're often called to be an expert witness in disputes over roofing problems. But tell us how you got interested in roofs in the first place, and what is it about slate for you?
Well, my neighbor, when I was a kid, I was 16. That was back in 1968. That was dates me there. I think the dinosaurs were still roaming the earth. My neighbor's grandfather was a roofer, and an old school roofer. He wanted somebody to take over his business, and he hired me on to help him. He was 63. That was in Butler, Pennsylvania. And he lamented that nobody wanted to learn a trade. Everybody wants to go to college. Well, I went to college in 1970, went to Penn State. And when I graduated, people knew that I'd worked on slate roofs. And so they just started after me, and it never stopped. And here it is, you know, 34 years now, and the business grows every year.
One of the big things that you can do is you get up there on the roof and you determine whether or not the roof is near the end of its life or whether it's restorable. And you've had some interesting experiences with some really well-known buildings. I thought, start with a Pennsylvania example, the Venango County Courthouse. What was that like, evaluating that roof?
Well, that's a good example, because the Venango County Courthouse roof was, about 80 years old, 80 to 100 years old. And it had been condemned. It's a slate roof. The engineers had condemned the roof, saying it had to be replaced. Well, I went and inspected it, and it didn't have to be replaced. It just needed restoration work. So they had the restoration work done, which I specified for them in my report, and it cost them 10 to 15% of what the replacement cost would have been. It saved them a ton of money, and they were extremely happy.
And you've done the same thing for Ford's Theater and the Smithsonian Building in Washington, D.C.
Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., Ford's Theater. In fact, I go around the country and inspect roofs, survey the roof for the conditions, and report on the conditions so that people can determine whether the roof needs replaced, repaired, restored, or nothing, you know. Some cases, it's really, there's nothing wrong with the roof. It's an adjoining roof or something, a problem with something that's not on the slate roof. And that was the case with Ford's Theater. It had two leaks. They were thinking about replacing the whole roof. It turned out the roof was new. It had been replaced 25 years prior.
And they just forgotten that it had been replaced?
Nobody who worked there had been there for 25 years. Nobody knew how long that roof was. How old that roof was. And the two leaks weren't on the slate roof. One was on an adjoining flat roof, and another one was on a coping, on a parapet wall. So I saved the taxpayer several hundred thousand, probably $500,000, just by spending a few hours inspecting that roof.
That's amazing. For any of our listeners who might have a slate roof on their house, do you have some tips for sort of the care and feeding of your slate roof?
I have a website, slateroofcentral.com, that has tons of information about slate roofs, how to repair them, how to restore them, how to evaluate them, how to identify the type of slate, how to find contractors, et cetera, et cetera. I would recommend that anybody who has a computer and gets on the internet go to that website, slateroofcentral.com. It's got, and there's a message board, a public message board. You can ask any questions. Contractors are on there all the time answering them. So It's a great resource.
And how about a homeowner who's considering buying a house that has a slate roof? What would you look for?
If you want a slate roof evaluated, you want to make sure it is evaluated by a knowledgeable person. That does not include a home inspector or a general roofing contractor. It has to be a person who specializes in slate, because you will get bad information from just about everybody regarding a slate roof.
We just have a few seconds left, but I wanted to mention, I said earlier you wear many hats. And besides the Slate Roof Bible, you have another book that's kind of interesting. It's called The Humanure Handbook. Just tell us briefly about that.
Well, that book, The Humanure Handbook, subtitled A Guide to Composting Human Manure, grew out of a graduate thesis that I was working on. And in fact, I will be here at PASA at Penn State in February doing a presentation on human manure, the misunderstood manure. So if anybody wants to know more about it, show up at PASA and you'll hear all about it.
Man of many talents. And on that note, we're out of time. We've been talking with Joe Jenkins of Grove City, Pennsylvania. He consults nationally and internationally on the restoration of historic slate roofs, and he's the author of the Slate Roof Bible. Joe, thanks for joining us today.
It's been a great pleasure.
For Take Note, I'm Cynthia Berger.
This program was produced in the studios of WPSU. This has been a production of Penn State Public Broadcasting.